Peter had a lot to learn. Do you sometimes identify with Peter because you too, and me too, have got a lot to learn about Jesus? We see in these two readings today that Peter had the right answer, and he got affirmed for having the right answer and the right words. But a few minutes later, although he had the right words, he was completely wrong. And so often when we open ourselves up to learning more about Jesus, we can find that we are going back to the very beginning and saying, teach me how big you really are, how amazing you really are, because I think I've forgotten, Lord. I think I've forgotten, Lord. And what we have in the second reading is Peter, after many years of reflection, he is telling us who Jesus is. And he's also telling us about the fact that we are to build with God, that God wants to build his church, and he shows us how to do that building. It's a fearful thought that we would want to do God's work without God. Is that possible? Do you think that's possible? Has that ever happened in church history, that churches have tried to build the church without asking God how he wants to do it? You see, in this reading, there's a picture, an image of two building projects. It's quite clear that the church is not a building. The church is a people group who trust in God. But he uses the image, the metaphor of two building projects. The first one is the human builders. And the second one is God the builder. The human builders, looking for materials to build with, they find this stone and they examine it and they say, this stone's pretty rubbish. We're not going to use this stone in our building project. It's unfit. They reject the stone. They build without this stone. But in God's building project, he says, that stone that you rejected is actually the most important stone. Without this stone, there is no church. Without this stone, it's a social club. It's just like any other organization. But with this stone, it is the very power of God. I don't know if we can bring up some slides here. So, yeah, it's great to know what's behind me, isn't it? this verse says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You see that stone at the bottom? It's the cornerstone. It's the stone that holds everything together. And God sent Jesus to save us. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Acts 4, verse 12. Colossians 1 says that in Christ, everything is held together. Without Christ, everything falls apart. And we mustn't put ourselves in a position of importance. We must remember that we are servants in God's church. It's his church. It's his plan. And it's only by his grace that we can build. If you look at all the verses in the New Testament about the building of the church, Ephesians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they're all major on the grace of God. By the grace of God, we build. What is the grace of God? It's God's unmerited favor. Who are the most famous people in the church? You can even start in the Old Testament. You've got Moses, who killed a man. You've got David, who committed adultery. You've got Peter, who denied Jesus three times. You've got Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the Christians, does that tell us something about the building of the church? It tells us that it's not the man, it's God that builds. And it's men and women who put their trust in him. And putting our trust in him is something which is a minority activity in our culture today. You know, even you hear statements from cardinals and archbishops who say things like, oh, the church is declining, and oh, the church is... Murphy O'Connor said a few years ago, the Catholic bishop, he said, the church is almost vanquished. What a statement of unbelief. The church is created by God. He pours out his grace on the church. And if there's one thing that's for certain, is that the church will outlast everything else. Revelation tells us that the end of time, what do you have? You have the church, the bride of Christ. Let's not be afraid. The pandemic is not going to wipe out the church. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave us or forsake us. And he wants to build. And what God wants to do, he's going to do. And if he doesn't do it with Alistair MacLeod, he'll find somebody else to do it. But he's still going to do it. And are you going to build with him? If you say, well, I'm not up for this, he's still going to build his church. He'll just find somebody else because it's too important to leave that job undone. But I'm excited because I want to be part of his building plan. And I want to learn how to build. So the first thing that we need to learn is we need to know the truth about who Jesus is. We need to know the truth about who Jesus is. The most important question for rebuilding the church after the pandemic is, who do you say that I am? And that's a message not just to seekers, it's certainly a message to seekers. And if you're here this morning or you're watching online and you don't know who Jesus is, that is the most important question you will ever face in your life. Who do you say Jesus is? If you understand him correctly, the truth of who he is, and you trust in that truth, your life will be totally secure. Your life will be so secure, unbelievably secure, that even the gates of death will not overcome it. Is there anything more important than that? Do you know him? But I think it's a question for me. Tempted to think that it all depends on me. Tempted to think that my mistakes, just like this little prophetic thing that happened this morning, I think, when Nikki broke it. How many times do we think that our mistakes are going to really derail the whole project? God is able to even use our mistakes in his building because that's what he's like. So is our view of Jesus too small? Read Revelation 1, the exalted, glorified Christ. He says, I am the living one. I was dead and I am alive forevermore. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And I hold the keys to life and death. Wow. Is that how you see Jesus? The fact that Peter got it right was because, not because he was clever. And there'll be children in Kids Zone this morning. Some of them are going to get all the questions right. And the teacher might think, wow, that child is really switched on. But no, it's because they listened to God's revelation. And they remembered it. Jesus said to Peter when he got the answer right, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this was given to you by the Father in heaven. This answer is not your cleverness. This answer has been given to you." And we need to thank God this morning for what we do know about Jesus and not get proud about it, but say, this was given to us. Thank God for what we've been given. I thank God that my parents said, you're going to church whether you feel like it or not. We're going. That's what we do as a family. We're going. No option, Alistair. Get in the car. And you say, well, do you ever remember what the preacher says on a Monday morning? I've forgotten it all. What's the point? Because I've forgotten it all. But that's not the way it works. I heard a professor this week saying that he is brilliant at Latin. He is fantastic at Latin. But he doesn't remember any of the Latin classes. All he knows is that once he didn't know any Latin, and now he knows it all. It's not about remembering the event of how we discovered the truth. It's the fact that we have the truth and we apply it into the week. So let's not have some humanistic claptrap. It's about how much we remember, because God is here and God is building your faith. And you don't realize it, but there's stuff going in there which is going to come out later. Because the Holy Spirit reminds us of the things that Jesus taught us, even if we forgot it on a Monday morning. And that's why a regular Bible reading, a regular prayer life, a regular attendance at church is how we build the church, whether we feel like it or not. What is our desire like? Do we desire to know Jesus better? Are we praying to ask God to show us more of Jesus? And is he precious to you? Is Jesus precious to you? I was talking about this with a friend this week, and when I said the words, "Who do you say that I am?" my friend burst into tears. He was in floods of tears. I thought, what's happened here? I've just said the words, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, I've been thinking about that for weeks, that the way that we need to overcome this pandemic is for us to know who Jesus is. And you've just said it, Alistair, that you're going to speak about that on Sunday. And he was in tears because Jesus is precious to him, and he's precious to me, and he's precious to you. But he's not precious to those who want to build without him. The second thing is that we need to not only know who Jesus is, but we need to trust in Jesus crucified. Remember how Peter started. When Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem, I must be killed, and then on the third day, rise again. Peter said, never, never, no way. That's not how it's supposed to happen. That's not how God's kingdom gets built, by the leader getting killed, and worse than that, getting humiliated on a cross. No way. Peter rejected Jesus, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You have in mind not the things of God, but the things of man. Jesus was rejected by the leaders of Israel, the very men who were stewards of God's revelation are the ones who called for Jesus to be crucified. Why? Because they had a different agenda to God. They liked the fireworks. They loved the signs and the miracles. They even liked the idea that the Messiah would come and defeat the enemies of Israel. especially the Romans. But when Jesus said, no, your greatest enemy is in your heart, causing you to sin, they didn't like that. When Jesus said to them, your father is the devil, they didn't like that. You're listening to the devil. And when Jesus said, I'm actually here because of sin. Because the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart, and what comes out of a person makes them unclean. Sexual immorality, malice, greed, all that stuff is the problem. And Jesus was unpopular with proud people who said, I don't need your medicine, Jesus. I want you to do bigger stuff than that. I want you to do more strategic stuff than that. But no, Jesus said, the most strategic thing I can do is to die for your sins. They rejected him, but they couldn't get rid of him. Imagine that. You reject Jesus, but you can't get rid of him. Caiaphas said to Jesus on the trial, he said, are you the one? Are you the son of the blessed God? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see me coming on the clouds of heaven. You will see me sitting at the right hand of God, and you'll see me coming on the clouds of heaven. Caiaphas said, it's good that one man would die for all the people. He didn't realize what he was saying. Again, he got the answer right, but he didn't understand the implications of what he was saying. Sometimes we get the answer right, but we don't understand the implications. He said, it's good that this man Jesus dies so that the people don't perish. Isn't that why Jesus died? So that we would not perish, so that we would not be cut off from God. Our sins lead to death. Jesus died in our place. He paid it all. He is the one that we need. We don't need a life coach. Well, we probably do as well. But we need so much more than a life coach. We need a savior. And that's why he is the indispensable stone. If you don't build with Jesus, if you don't build your life on Jesus, you have no forgiveness of sins. You have no reconciliation with God. But the third thing, and the most important thing, is that he said, I will build my church and the gates of death will not overcome it. He is the author of life. He gives eternal life. And he was totally vindicated. He was rejected, but then when he rose from the dead, he was vindicated. He was humiliated and crucified, but when he rose from the dead, that means that his sacrifice was accepted by the Father. That means that he was sinless. Death could not hold him. Fear, insecurity, loneliness. Jesus gives us victory over our biggest fears. He gives us victory over death. I'm reading a book at the moment called Being Mortal. It's an uncomfortable book. And it's about death. It's about getting old. It's about how we treat older people. It's how we speak to older people who the last thing they want to talk about is the fact that they're getting weaker and that they're maybe needing to make adjustments to their life because they can't do what they once could do. None of us wants to think about that. It's called being mortal. It's written by a doctor, an Indian doctor, who says that in India, that they do things differently than to the West. It's an uncomfortable book. It talks about the need to look after our teeth because they're deteriorating really fast. And that one day we might need falsers. I brushed my teeth more often this week. But Jesus gives us the victory over death. He gives us a new body, a new set of teeth, and a life everlasting. A new body. Isn't that great, John? New body. And although our outward body is wasting away, our inner being is being renewed daily through the hope that we have, through the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done for us in dying on the cross and rising from the dead. So is he precious to you? Will you trust in him? Will you come to him? Will you come to him today? Come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You too, chosen by God, precious to him. You too have eternal life if you trust in him. And we are being built up into a spiritual house as we build on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? For truth, for forgiveness, for life. We come to you, living Christ. We praise you for the living hope that you've given us through your resurrection from the dead. And we thank you that although we have got a life full of trouble, we can take heart because you have overcome the world, overcoming death itself. And we thank you that nothing separates us from your love today. And we thank you that it depends on your plan and your building. And we want to join in, Lord, with what you're doing. So keep us close to you this week, Lord. Help us to read the word, even when we don't feel like it. Help us to come into fellowship, even when we don't feel like it. And create in us a new determination to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.